Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, or let the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who glories, glory in this, he says, that he or she understands and knows me.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello, we hope you're having a great Monday, and we're so blessed you've tuned in today. Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians today, with the conclusion to the message, Knowing God.
I know the Hebrew and the Greek. I do too. I know a little, they own a delicatessen by my house. You can know all about God, but not really know God. What does God say about that? He says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom. Don't brag about that. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, or let the rich man boast in his riches. I love this. God says, but let him who glories. You want to brag about something? Brag a glory in this, he says, that he or she understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. God says, okay, you're going to brag about your wisdom? You're going to brag about your power and riches and so forth? God says, let me tell you how I measure a person. Or you want to be a success with me, God says in his word. He says, then true success is measured one way. Do you know me? Do you really know me? Do you know my heart? No different than when John put his head upon the chest of Christ at the supper and heard the heartbeat of God. Do you know what fills God's heart, our Father, with joy? Oh, I look and I say, oh, God. God's delight here in those scriptures in Jeremiah is that we have intimacy and that we're passionate about him. Oswald Sanders said, every one of us is as close to God as he has chosen to be. I don't think God has a limit on how close we can get to him, do you? No. He says, Paul in his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here it comes now, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, God. Do you know him? I know that we know that God is the God of all mercies. Amen. We know that God, our Father, is the God of all comfort, of all grace, of all hope, of all peace, all of those things. But do you believe, have you experienced that? Have you experienced that mercy? Have you truly, where do you go when you need mercy? Who do you go to? Where do you go when you truly, I need to be comforted? I've gone to all the wrong places. I can give you a list. They don't work. They'll never work. But I can go to the God who is the source, listen to me now, the source of every comfort known to man. I say, oh God, that's my Father. I can be intimate with you. You're going to comfort me in all of my tribulations so I can comfort others that are going through it. Amen? Listen, beware, loved one, of counterfeit mercy. Beware of counterfeit comfort that the world gives you. It'll never, ever help you. Listen, if you're not running to your Father for that comfort and mercy and all the things that you need, where are you going? Who are you running to? If not your Father, loved one, ooh, listen, you need the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation and wisdom about your Father. We have a throne, Hebrews 4:16. We have a throne called the throne of grace that we can go to anytime, 24/7, amen? Anytime we want to. You know, the first service, I was up here, and I had to have a drink. You know, allergies, you know how it is. Well, some of you don't, but I have it. I spilled water all over. I mean, I was drenched up here. Hallelujah. I was baptized, and God saved one in the first service. Isn't God good? Amen. With all that being said, you need to have knowledge. You need to get back into the wisdom and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We have a throne of grace that we can go to. We can obtain mercy and help in time of need. Amen? It's all about that. Listen, Do you really know? I'm challenging you. There's not anything that I'm doing to you that I haven't done to myself. The Word of God challenges me just like it challenges you. Is God real to you? Is your Father in heaven truly real to you? Or is it just a casual acquaintance? There's nothing greater than experiencing intimacy. Job put it like this in Job 42:5. Job said, oh, talking about God the Father, he says, listen, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, he went, my eyes see you. Job says, since I've been a little boy, man, I have been instructed about you, taught about you. But Job says, but now I see you, the manifest presence of God. I'm experiencing you. Did you know that God desires you to experience him? He does. Listen, and it's always by the Spirit of God, no other way. Maybe you grew up maybe like me, fatherless, and never hearing your father say, I love you, or I want you, or any of those things. And I remember, I'll never forget the day when the revelation from the power of God, the Spirit of God, came upon me. I was driving, and it was so powerful, I pulled off the side of the road and started weeping, because all of a sudden, I realized that I was not fatherless. I have a Father who really loves me, who chose me, who wants me, who will make sure I get home. Amen? Listen, that blessed me like you can't imagine. You know, this kind of knowledge about experiencing God the Father, listen, loved one, is for every Christian. Hebrews 8:11 tells us, it says, know the Lord. Know him, experience him. Why? For all will know one day. All will know and have that. You know, the question is, do you really know God? I know you say, Bill, I'm saved. What are you beating me up? No. But let me put it to you another way. You know, do you text? No, you know. You know, oh, what's going on, honey? Bye, you know. And oh, let me send you this picture. I'm in the da-da-da-da. Or here's my Instagram. And I'm on Facebook. And you can sit there and talk. I've watched people. They talk for hours with people, dun, 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 all through the day, all through the day. You can do that. I say this in love. I do love you. But can you talk to God the Father for 30 minutes in prayer? See, can you really do that? Well, if you're not, why don't you? I'll tell you why. You don't know God. No. Wait. I didn't say you didn't believe in God. I didn't say that. I know you believe in God. I'm talking about experiencing God. I'm talking about in your prayer time, in your walk. Oh, loved one, there is nothing greater than that. How do we know God the Father? Of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we to get smarter? Are we to expand our mind and, okay, mentally, you know, I'm going to discover God in my mind? No, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me, 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, eye hath not seen, ear not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Here it comes. But God has revealed all those things to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Loved one, listen. There are deep things that are waiting for you, that are waiting for me. But they can never be experienced, that kind of intimacy, by mental assent. No, listen. They're undiscoverable by our intellect. Not that intellect is bad. No, listen. We only can receive those things by the Holy Spirit of God. He says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Here it comes. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can reveal more to you in 1 second than 5 years of being in a Bible college, if he wanted to. Do you understand that? He goes on and he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's the reason, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How sad to be illuminated by the Spirit of God, the Word of God being made alive, and then fail to know the things that have been freely given unto us, love. Paul goes on, you know the scripture about in verse 14 of this text I'm reading from, that the natural man receives not the spiritual things. See, they can't discern it. They're foolishness to him. Why? They're spiritually discerned. See, if a natural man, meaning a person that is not born from above, if they could open the Bible and then understand the Bible, it would not be a supernatural book. If a person that is not born again cannot welcome or receive the things of God into their heart, they have to be born again for that. Does that make sense? They can only welcome the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world is against God. It's an antichrist spirit, loved one. No. Listen, it says in Ephesians 1:18, look at it now. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or illuminated, that, here it comes again, that you may know. Know what? Well, what's the hope of his calling? What else? Well, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? When it says the eyes of your understanding, that word, you probably in your center row column, the text there, maybe you have a number over or something over the word understanding. He's not talking about the mind. The word understanding literally means the heart. The heart to God is the place of the mind, will, and emotions. It's the seat of all of that, loved one. And so he's saying the eyes of your heart being enlightened. The Amplified Version makes it clear. It says having the eyes of your heart flooded with light that you can know and understand the hope which he has called you. Now, I don't know if you will agree with this or not, but I know it's true. I understand more in my heart than I do in my head. Do you understand? About God in a way. Oh, I know the word. I'm still growing, of course. But you see, what does the Bible say? If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your mind, no. Why? Why not in your mind? I'll tell you why. The mind has to be renewed. Amen? And not only that, the mind that you have before you came to Christ is the mind that says, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. The mind will lie to you. Do you know that? But it's the heart. Something has to happen here. If you confess with your mouth and believe in the inner man, the inner woman, that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Loved one, I don't know about you, but I would give anything for this church to live in the constant state of illumination from the Spirit of the living God, where we're just saturated with the Lord, saturated with knowing him. So what does God our Father want us to know? It tells us right here. It says, what is the hope of his calling? Remember, hope in the Bible is not, man, I hope so. It is sure. It is certain. It's a divine fact, a guaranteed by the living God who cannot lie. Amen? So is this, what is this hope of his calling? Are you ready for this? We have been called by God to be his people, we who are in Christ. Amen? That's the hope of his calling. Can you believe that? Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Amen? He goes on and says, you're not only a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood. How are you royal? How's that? Well, the spirit of adoption, whereby our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. Amen? We've been adopted. We're kings and priests unto God. We're going to reign and rule with him, loved one. He says, not only are you a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation. What does that mean? We're a holy nation. It means that the church, we, the Christian, we're set apart right now for service unto God in this generation. He goes on and he says, I love this one. We're God's own special people. Don't you love that? I'm special to God. I'm not special to a lot of people. But God says, you're my own special. Bill, you're one of my special kids. He can say the same to you. He goes on, he says, and here's the reason, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. No wonder Paul the Apostle writes in Ephesians 2:5, God, who is rich in mercy. Thank God he saved us by grace. Amen? Oh, and then he says, look at it again, verse 18. Not only that we understand in our heart and all of that, the hope of his calling, but look at this. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the what? That's us. What does God the Father want you to know? I look at that and I say, you got to be kidding me, Lord. Are you saying that your inheritance, not the inheritance that we studied out in what, verse 11? No. This is his inheritance in us. What does that mean? It means that the church of the living God, loved one, listen, we are his treasure. We're his treasure. How can we say, I hear Chris, I don't think God loves me. How can you say that? I don't think God's going to forgive me. How can you say that? You're in Christ. Amen? Do you know God the Father? Oh, listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God enlighten your heart right now, where that information that you're receiving right now this morning turns into divine revelation and just sets you aflame. What do you think about the church, really? I know what people in the world think about the church. As a matter of fact, a lot of Christians have a very low view of the church. Listen, the church is not a building. It's you. Don't have a low view of yourself. No, listen, I love the church. When I was back praying for y'all this morning, there in the corner, that's my prayer corner too, my praise corner, I was watching you worship. I was watching Jesse, man, he's moving. And I said, Lord, I'm so thankful for the church, your church, that you purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. The church, the body of Christ, has no equals. Not in time or never in eternity. The church has absolutely no equals. Listen to me. We are chosen in him, adopted, accepted in the beloved. We are seated together with Christ. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We are sealed. We are his inheritance. We are his church. And as a word I always love to say, and I say the church is forever triumphant. Do you ever read that book? Remember? Years ago, I forget who wrote it, but I have it in my library right now. The church is forever. Forever triumphant. No matter what the ages say through the past history, listen, Jesus told us in Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? We will always be victorious. Matter of fact, read the last book of the Bible. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Matter of fact, we should be the church fearless. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. We shouldn't be afraid of anyone or anything. The devil is defeated. Death has been abolished. Amen? Rendered inactive. We're his people. We're his people. He is our Father. And not only that, we should never be the church ashamed. We should be the church unashamed. For I am not ashamed of the good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? No, for it, meaning the good news, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and even to the Gentile. Loved one, listen, we are the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the only stewards on this planet. We have the only book that came from God the Father from heaven that landed on this planet, if you will, and it belongs to you. It belongs to me, the only book from heaven to earth. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not only that, we have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. 1 John 4:17, I love that scripture. As Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. Whoever is born of God in any nation, any color, any people, rich or poor, whoever is born of God overcometh this world. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believeth that Jesus Christ is a son of the living God? We're the only people on earth right now, the church, that's on the narrow road. Right now, we're on the narrow road that leads unto life, loved one. We're on it. We're going down it. And you know what? It's going to take us all the way home. Titus 2:13, great scripture. One day Jesus, oh, the blessed hope, we're eagerly waiting. He's going to come for us, isn't he? Yes. It could be any moment, his appearing. All that God has promised from eternity past is going to be realized when Jesus comes and takes us home. Just a few scriptures, and I know it's time to go. It says when he comes, listen very carefully, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 5:10, may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, here it is, when Jesus comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, that's us, to be admired among all those who believe. What a glorious future that we have. I'm going to ask you a question. Listen to me now. Paul, that was the first of Paul's prayer. Now listen carefully. This young church in Ephesus, founded by Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, taught in that church. Did the first generation Did they discover that intimacy with God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did the second generation, was Paul's prayer answered for the second generation of believers? No. You know why? Well, you have to read Revelation 2 for that. What did they do? Man, did they labor for the Lord? Oh, boy, the church, have they labored for the Lord like you can't believe? They had purity. They had purity. But they didn't no longer had the passion. You know what they did? The same thing I talked to you earlier about. They substituted works for knowing God, for knowing Jesus, for loving Jesus. They said, look what I'm doing. I have all these works. And Jesus said, I know all your works. I know that you're laboring to the point of exhaustion. I know that. He said, but you know what? You've done something that just, I can't stand it. You've left your first love. You've walked away from me. Jesus will not stay in a loveless church, no matter how many great works there's going on. Not a denomination, not a name of a denomination. Our first love is Jesus Christ. Did the second generation make it? They did not. Ephesus, the light went out. Listen to me. That church was, again, taught by Paul, founded by Paul, taught by John. Worn by Jesus Christ himself. Let us never substitute works. Look what we're doing for intimacy. Let's have intimacy, then let's go work. Let's have our prayer time and our prayer closet and knowing that God the Father is there. He wants to touch you as any father would, to hold you. Intimacy. He wants you to experience it. How do you do that, Bill? Well, if you don't know Christ, listen to me. There's only one way, to know God the Father, to experience love. His forgiveness. Jesus told us how. No man comes to the Father. No person comes to the Father except through me. Why did Jesus say that? Because he said earlier, for I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The only way to get home. The only way to have your sins forgiven. The only way to have intimacy with God the Father is through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no other name given under heaven by which a man could be say, do you know the Lord? Are you born again? Are you visiting with us? Maybe you've been several times here. Is Jesus really your Lord? No. Do you really know God? Do you know that? Do you know that you're saved? If not, here's what I want you to do. If you're not a Christian, you doubt in your heart, you lift your hand to God right now. Say, I want Jesus to be, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian pray. You lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to experience God. Lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me, and I'll pray for you. You don't have to come to this altar. I just need to see a hand go up and a hand go right back down. And you can join those who gave their hearts to Christ in the early service. Anyone at all, quickly, please, if that's you. God bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, I see that hand. Oh, there's another. I know there is. Quickly. Would you lift it high and put it right back down? Say, Bill, that's me too, quickly. So I'll not ask again. If that's you, please don't fight the Spirit of God. God bless you. Anyone else say, that's me? That's me, quickly. Now you that lifted your hands, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me right now. In church, I want you to pray and help me. Say, Father, you're the Father of glory. Today, I want to come home. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And Father, I believe in my heart, you raised him from the dead. You promised. If I believed that, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. Jesus be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill continues his Ephesians series, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen? Thanks, everyone, for listening along with us today. We appreciate you so much. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.